is, we got a two-pack, we'll take them, we'll go to our, is the 21-127 and 21-128. Is the summary the same?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do the summary together and then we'll take them separately.
Case 21-127, and then is Brian Hott. The respondent is Hayward Recording EM. Case 21-128, the complainant is Brian Hott. The respondent is James Hottle EM. On February 20th, 2021, Jake, the 7-year-old Nash Wallace, was presented to Dr. McCoy for vomiting and diarrhea. The dog was examined and diagnostics were performed. Foreign body obstruction was suspected and surgery was recommended. Later that day, Dr. Toe performed exploratory surgery. No foreign body was identified and an intestinal biopsy was obtained. The dog was recovered. The following day, the dog was not improving. Dr. Core suspected the dog had sepsis, possible pancreatitis, or IBD. A poor prognosis was given. Later that morning, due to the dog's worsening condition and complainant's financial constraints, the dog was humanely euthanized. The dog may conclude that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded to board dismiss this issue with no violation. That is the same for case 21-127 and case 128.
We have no respondent in either case, no complaint in either case. We're still monitoring both cases?
Both cases.
And let's start with 127. Dr. James, you are the lead on both of these.
So in the case of 127, this was a doctor that did the initial diagnostics, and looking at the x-rays and what was submitted, I actually kind of agree. It looked like a foreign body, which definitely looked like one that I would be pursuing. And I think there was some concern around finances and whether you wanted to continue to spend money on additional diagnostics than we were versus going to surgery. But I don't think going to surgery was a bad option with the presentation that they had and what they had on x-ray. So I would support the investigative committee's findings of no violations in this case.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 21-127. Is there any further discussion? I guess it was written somewhere or it was commented by somebody, so I wrote it down here. But, you do the surgery, the dog dies, you blame the vet. Wait and see, the dog dies, you blame the vet. So you just, either way, if the right person, right circumstances, it was going to come here no matter what they did, one way or the other. So. All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss 21-127. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes, and that case is dismissed. Next one is
Mr. Chairman, I am leaving the meeting. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Talk to you next time.
And let the record show that Ms. Solomon has left. And we are on
21-128. Now, 21-128 is the same case, basically, except for this is the actual surgeon. And again, I don't see anything where anything was said was wrong. I think it was, they went in and did what they should have done. He got a biopsy in case they wanted to submit it, which I think was proactive. I don't see any violations of the practice act rules, so I would support the investigative committee's findings of no violation.
Second.
A motion for a second to find no violation in case 21-128. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 21-128 is dismissed. Next up is 21-130. Tracy, would you give us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 21-130 is Dan Tennyson and the respondent is Kathy Kirby. Yeah. On April 18th, 2021, Coda, a 1.5-year-old male Portuguese, was presented to Spotlight Services with a dog bite wound. Complainant was advised that there were several pets waiting to be seen and it could be some time for the dog to be evaluated. Complainant requested the dog be triaged as she thought it was an emergency. Staff complied, the dog was evaluated and deemed stable. Complainant was upset with the dog's condition and wanted the dog to be seen immediately. Staff offered to bring the dog into the treatment area for a veterinarian to assess, and if deemed stable, she would need to continue to wait. Complainant declined and took the dog elsewhere. The respondent is the responsible veterinarian for the process. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practices Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board to dismiss this issue for that violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
So we have no respondent, no complaint from Mr. Stoll monitoring.
Yes, sir.
That's the latest you've been here a while. Ms. Krieger, you're the lead.
So in this case, I can sympathize with the owner. I've had dogs that I've fought and they were much bigger than the Corgis. It's distressing, and of course, a lot of times the injuries, not blood, results can look a lot worse than it actually is. Which is clearly what was happening in this case. And I know she felt like her dog was the emergency, but of course, there were a number of other pets that had more distressing issues than her dog did. And I will say that it seemed like this office really, went above and beyond. They brought, this pet back, and several staff went out and spoke with this owner. And she obviously was just not, happy with the answer she was getting. She chose to go elsewhere. And I do think it was interesting to note that even though she went elsewhere that morning, that pet still wasn't seen until 4:30 that afternoon. So it was clearly not
at 1:30.
Right. So it clearly wasn't considered, a priority over there as well. I just like to note that for the record. So again, I understand this owner frustrated, but this is what happens when there's a lot of different emergencies. And so in this case, I don't see any issues with the medical care, and I would make a motion to dismiss case 21-30 against Dr. Kerr.
I'll second that and say, as I've said many times, this is the future of veterinary medicine. We're not able to just drop everything and deal with things like we used to, maybe just a year and a half, 2 years ago. We can see emergencies very commonly in day practice, and emergency clinics themselves are beyond the capability of seeing it anymore. They're just, maybe a 4 to 6 hour wait in some cases, and that's saying that happens on the union side. And it is an unfortunate situation, but it is the reality. It is nobody's fault at this point, and we need to, as a society, realize things are changing, and there are going to be waits. And honestly, in an emergency situation, if you want to get them on this waiting, because if they're going back immediately, your chances go down drastically at that point. So it's good when the doctor tells you you need to wait.
Good for what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be the first one to go in. Just like you don't want to be the one in the hospital and 17 doctors are around you head out of the house. So waiting is a good thing.
All right, motion on the floor, and we have a second is to dismiss 21-30. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Case is dismissed. Next up is another two pack.
No,
132. Tracy, would you read the sign, please?
Yes. Case 21-132, the complaint is Sam Tobias. And the respondent is Carlton Hewitt, DVM. On March 11, 2021, Sully, a 3-year-old male officer, was presented to respond to Ashwell this week. Respondent induced vomiting and reported to complain that that dog vomited up the toy. The toy was disposed of by respondent, and the dog was discharged later that evening. After the emergency visit, the dog continued to vomit and pass in stool. The primary care veterinarian assessed the permazole and recommended evaluation that the dog did not improve. On April 5th, 2021, a complainant reported that dog vomited up the same squeaky toy that the respondent stated he had gotten the dog to vomit up on March 11th, 2021. And then you made concluded that no violation of the veterinary practice act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue without violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
All right, we have no respondent, no complaint. Mr. Still monitoring?
Monitoring on.
And Dr. James, you're the lead.
So, in looking at the case, I mean, I think the way it was handled initially, I didn't see any concerns with. It's very common to make a dog vomit when you know they've eaten something. They retrieved what was reported to have been eaten. And I really don't see how this could have been the same toy that would have still been there a month later. I don't think a month later you would have even still been able to identify it. So I really feel like the investigative committee had it right with there had to have been access to another toy, even though the owner did their best to try and make sure that that wasn't the case. Dogs are just crazy and they're able to find everything. So I support the investigative committee's findings and would go with no violations of our practice after rules.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 21-132. Is there any further discussion?
I would just like to point out that on the discharge orders, does say if at any time your pet's prognosis is not what you should be, please contact the veterinarian. So I mean, there was follow-up that, hey, if your dog's still having issues, there can still be things going on there. So I think the doctor did the best they could. You try to make him vomit what you can, but stuff's going to happen. I mean,
I'm glad you clarified that it could not have been the same toy a month later, because I had a question like, can that really just hang out in the stomach and then you just throw it out later? Is it like gum or it just stays in
the I've had animals with stuff for 2 or 3 months.
But not so look. Description-wise, usually it looks like it's been there a month or 2 months.
Usually it's
still. Pull it out when it's fresh, it's still yellow and round, it's like the squeezer that went in. But when it's been in there a month, it gets exposed to stomach acid and juices, and it's not necessarily the same condition.
Yeah, it's very true.
So I guess, and I am going to vote which this is, but I would encourage the practitioner that when you get something out like that, take a picture and put it in the chart.
Yeah, apparently they were supposed to give it back to them, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, they said they didn't want it, so they just threw it in the trash, but take a picture of it first.
Yeah. I pretty much always show any foreign body or to the client in the back and just say, you want that back? Yeah. Most of the time they don't want the other bag or whatever it is. But I always show up to them just, you know, just to prove, be like, this is what they got, and it's kind of a trophy.
But don't post it on social media.
Don't post it on social media without a release.
This is what I paid $3,000.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Some people actually do want to take it. I've had clients that want to take it as a badge of honor, and they put it on their mantle or something. I went, all right, go team, go for it. But it's always good to show the client what they are paying for. It does help to alleviate a lot of these things.
All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, and that is dismissed. Now we have our two back. Tracy, the summary that's sent.
Let's see here. This one. Yes, they are.
There? Okay. Let's do the summaries together, and then we'll take the votes one by one for discussion.
Okay. Case 21-133, the complainant is David Alonzo Flowers, the respondent is Jessica Cox, DVM. On December 14th, 2020, James, a 12-year-old intact male chihuahua, was presented to Dr. House due to anorexia and starting to defecate. The dog was examined and revealed a perineal hernia. Surgery was recommended to repair the hernia as well as castration. A pre-surgical workup was performed and the dog was hospitalized for overnight care and treatment. On October 15th, 2020, Dr. Savicki evaluated the dog and contacted complainants to go over the procedures and the associated risks. The dog was anesthetized and then was being prepped for surgery when he was arrested. Resuscitation efforts were initiated, but were unsuccessful. Yes, summary is the same, case 21-134. The respondent is a Roman Civic DBA with the same confinement. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act have occurred, and was moved and seconded the board to send this issue with a done violation. And the motion was approved of 5-0.
All right, for 21-133, we have no respondent, no complaint, nobody monitoring. For 21-134, we have no respondent, no complaining, and Mr. Stoll monitoring.
Correct.
And Dr. Wright, you're the lead.
All right, I'm going to do separately. So, in 21-133, going through and looking and seeing, I don't see any issue with the medical portion itself, the CPR, and it looks like it was carried out correctly. The doctor is a board certified also, so we need to know exactly what to do, when to do it, and those are the ones we're working on. Unfortunately, in these situations, sometimes it has to be passed away, and there's just nothing we can do to intervene. But that's a kind of violation, so I make a motion that this is dismissed with a violation.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 133. Is there any further discussion? This is one where there was no necropsy, and you can guarantee that, I mean, there is no guarantee a necropsy will tell you something, but there is a guarantee you won't find out anything if you don't get one. All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. That motion passes. 21-133 is dismissed. Get one more.
All right, so I'm not going to trigger him here. So, all right, so.
I tried.
But again, reading through this, I don't see any violations of statute or anything that's going to be needing a motion for violation. It's an unfortunate situation. Dr. Suzuki is a board certified surgeon. Everything looks like he's done it right. It's one of those unfortunate situations. So I'm making a motion to dismiss it for the violation.
Second.
Motion on the floor and second to dismiss 21-134. Is there any further discussion?
I don't even think he did very much, right? Because this photo rested there in press.
Yeah, because it was hardly put under.
So
it wasn't opened up yet. There was still shaving.
Yeah, there's still going to be under there. Check the intubation and all that. I mean, it looked like it was done properly, so. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's not a violation of anything that I can hide.
All right, any more discussion? All those in favor of dismissing?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. The case dismissed. Next up is 21-138. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 21-138, the is Kristen Pergamenti, and the respondent is A.E. Hirsch, DVM. On April 21st, 2021, Niles, a 10-year-old male multi-poo, was presented to the respondent for a cancer on tumor treatment. The dog was treated with sulfalamida. Complainant was instructed to increase the dog's prednisone to 5 milligrams once a day. The dog had a deregulation event that led to extensive skin necrosis. The dog developed severe swelling, edema, and bruising of the entire leg, as well as his previous scarring and rectum. On April 26, 2021, the dog was presented to respondent for care treatment of the wound. It was determined that the dog had been getting 2.5 milligrams prednisone twice a day, instead of 5 milligram prednisone. Complainant expressed concerns that respondent did not prescribe the correct strength of prednisone, which caused the dog to suffer unnecessarily. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. The board was moved and seconded that the board dismissed this issue with no violation. They did express concern with the prednisone dose miscommunication, however. Motion
is approved of 5-0. We have no respondent, no complainant, Mr. Stoll monitoring.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. James, you're the lead.
Yeah, so this is a really tough case because this dog certainly has some pretty severe complications, but this is a new drug, so I don't think there's a whole lot of history as to say whether the higher dose of Fred would have prevented it. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't say for sure that the miscommunication around the dose of Fred is what resulted in the severe reaction. But what I would say is certainly the doctor intended on the 5 milligrams. It was written as 5 milligrams. It just wasn't computed as such based on what size tablet she thought the owners had. So, I mean, I can see how this happened. I think the doctor has really gone above and beyond to talk with the drug company. They talked with other doctors about this. Really trying to, you know, cover the expenses and make sure that she's doing everything. And I just think that this was, yeah, an unfortunate miscommunication, but I can't even say that that's what resulted in these findings. So from my perspective, I would agree with the investigative committee and make a recommendation of no violations in our practice act of rules.
I second that.
Motion on the floor, a second to dismiss with no violation. Is there any further discussion? So I kind of had my notes here that it's unfortunate, but was not unexpected. It's a known side effect, and a steroid is, no matter what the dose is, there to prevent it, so you know about it. That's why you know the steroids in the first place. So I mean, it's not like it was a surprise. It was unpleasant, but it was not out of the blue.
Yeah, cancer's a hard thing. I mean, cancer's cancer because it doesn't follow what the textbook says it should be doing. So like I said, we try and do our best, but bad things are going to happen because they are bad cells.
And one of those pictures horrible to look at? Yeah. Right after dinner, really bad.
But I mean, yeah, cancer is one of those things we try and do the best we can. But just as like human as cancer, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, cancer, that's a bad thing in all cases.
Yeah, the result's no good option. Whatever you pick, you're going to have something that you don't like about it. So. All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion passes. That case is dismissed. That leaves us to our final investigative review, 2230. Tracy, would you read us a summary, please?
Yes, case 2230, the complainant is James Blazer, the respondent is Greta Hyman, DBN. On March 3rd, 2020, Tink Tank, a 3-year-old female chihuahua, was presented to respondent due to concerns with the dog's fit and not eating or drinking well. Respondent examined the doctor and recommended the diagnosis. Complainant approved treatments to be administered to the dog. The dog is discharged with recommendations to return to the diagnostic with no improvement. The complainant stated in her complaint that after the medication wore off, the dog was in pain and could not walk. She did not return the dog to the respondent for evaluation. And this case did not go in front of the investigative committee. I brought it straight to the board for more review.
All right, so we have. No respondent, no complaint on control monitoring?
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Byrne, you are the fortunate son.
Yes, so reviewing the records, I was a bit confused as to why it came initially. It seemed like they had some issues between the veterinarian and the client as far as they didn't really see eye to eye on some things. She didn't return in the investigative committee had made her the they'd made a record or a notation that the amount and the concentration of the two medications, the carfarin and the carbinia, were located in the medical record, and that's the only thing I see that's an issue. So
yeah, I mean it's the dog responded.
They responded and it wore off.
Yeah, it responded for 24 hours to the medication that's supposed to last 24 hours.
Right.
makes sense. And then the dog's going to, you know, arthritis or whatever's causing it is going to stay there. That's not curable. So I don't see, again, where the veterinarian's at fault for that, or should they have her missing that information. And
right. So normally I'd probably make a recommendation to dismiss it, but I could also do a letter of concern to the veterinarian just for the record keeping and noting the concentration and route and amount.
I think a letter of concern would be good at a minimum, and then the other option is a medical record that does not affect the behavior or whatever. But it would be one of those two, I would think, at the most.
I would almost give her a pass because she didn't put up with this lady. That's punishment enough. And I will say that versus reading what I have in my house.
Yeah, it's definitely a communication issue coming there. Like I said, now I'm not having any problems with it because this is just, it is what it is there. That the complainant needs to take responsibility for their decisions at the hospital and what treatments they want to go through and do diagnostics. Like I said, so that's, that I think, yeah, definitely, it's just, is there anything else there? So
I'm going to have a letter of concern as well. That's all I would want to necessarily do.
So I restated to issue a letter of concern in regards to the amount, concentration, and route of the medications administered.
Yeah, because they were on invoice, right?
Correct.
Let me just look at that one more time to see. Just to make sure. Where is the invoice? Yeah, it says the carprofen, quantity 3, Convinia, 181. So, I mean, yeah, it's like I said, and that's where I think the letter of concern is brought up. I have an issue with that. She should list there. Does the invoice consider?
You can probably backtrack it on this today if you.
Exactly, yeah. So, there, it's the invoice is a part of the records we need to verify stuff for. So, yeah, the letter of concern is saying, hey, they want to put this in the actual letter of records.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor for a letter of concern. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
That motion passes. And that is the end of our initial investigative reviews. That takes us down to section 5, number 2, board may review, discuss, take action on veterinarian applications. Allison Duquesne, Ms. Creer, you're the lead, I believe that's on Lane, maybe?
Yeah, so this is one where it is an expunged record, so I won't actually go into detail, but it was like a silly teenager mistake in 2009. This individual was a teenager then, and it was just an error in judgment, but I have a motion to approve her application.
A motion for a second to approve her applications. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. Board may review, discuss, and take action on the American Association of Veterinary State Board's guidance document related to CBD use on companion animals. Do you want to review that or take no action?
Before I even got it from the board, since it came straight to
Virginia.
Yeah. Well, I just thought it was interesting because I've been interested in CBD stuff for my dog, but it didn't really tell me anything that I was hoping to get. I thought it was going to be different than that. So, yeah, but it was.
So, take no action?
Yeah. Not really.
Does anybody really feel like you have to just that? Because you can leave. You didn't allow it. All right, moving on to number 4. Board may review, discuss, take action on Daniel Hinch, possible unlicensed practitioner.
And then this was, I can give medicines and practice medicine as long as that's not my first. Nice try, though. Nice try. So no one's assigned this one, right?
No.
Okay. So do we have any contact information for this person, or do we just have these Facebook posts?
No, there's an address.
An address?
Oh, there was the address on the first one. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously practicing veterinary medicine. I would send a cease and desist. I make a motion to send a cease and desist and refer this to.
Yeah,
open.
Let's take one step at a time.
There we go. And then I make a motion to open a case then.
And ask for a response.
And ask for a okay, so open a case, ask for a response as to what are you doing. We have boilerplate questions for unlicensed practitioners.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so we can do that and submit the response within
15
minutes. We just try to get whatever we can.
Yeah.
What's that?
No, we just try to get whatever we can whenever we can. We give them 15 days.
I was wondering with the holidays if we need to extend it out or not.
But usually we don't get a response and that's on side of the ladder.
See, the holidays are coming, they need to hurry up and get it done before that.
Well, yeah, and that's why I'm going to make sure we at least got something either before the next meeting. The next month's meeting is early, right?
Yeah.
So 15 days will give us time to adjust.
I usually give them a couple of tries before I bring it to you guys.
Oh, okay, so we probably won't see this until February. Oh, okay. Well, then let's do that.
January, probably.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to open a case and send a response, or a request for a response from Danielle.
Second.
And we have a second.
Just reminded me of the board meeting this earlier, and I'm like,
you're wrong.
Yeah. Any further discussion? All in favor, opening case?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Passes. Board may review, discuss, take action on case C-2202 in regards to Marianne Luna, unlicensed practitioner. This is going to tie in with the next one, number six. In regards to Al Luna, unlicensed practitioner. Looks like if you read the fine print, it's a little older than what looks like.
So this one we already had a case open.
We opened a case, yeah. Letters came back.
Letters came back and then I sent an email through their website and I got a response.
And we have some results.
The information that I have is old. As far as the information that the anonymous complainant presented, the dates on the canine record of 2011, and also on the business card, it does say that all surgical procedures are done by a veterinarian in Mexico.
So that MVZ, is that part of his name, or is that
a that's a degree from a veterinary university.
And I credited one, or
why? Well, so I think that they bring the animals, it's my understanding they bring the pets to across the border into Mexico.
Yeah.
The procedures are performed.
And then bring them back. And just like people go to Calexico and get the cheap drugs on the other side, and they're bringing them back. If that's your level of brilliance, you probably can't have much.
Is this a business that's registered with the International Corporation Commission? Do you possibly look at that? Because if they're doing international business.
Have you been to the board?
No, the Corporation Commission can deal with that. They don't want to. Again, because if you're only up international lines and they're not following the laws of international business, then maybe you just refer to them for a possible follow up. I didn't know if you've looked at it. See if it's an active future call. What's that?
I'm just not sure without more information.
I have this one. We just don't have it. It's a really good board.
It's old.
It is.
Yeah.
Apparently, happening back to then, these guys may be transporting it out there.
What's that?
All right, so.
So I make a motion that we close case C-2203 against Al Luna.
2202 first.
Marianne,
she moved in.
Yeah. Second.
She's been helping you out all day.
I know.
All right, motion on the floor. A second to close 2202. Is any further discussion? All's in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay. That's all I can say.
Well, second for the vote. Okay, now 2203.
I make a motion that we close the case against Olivetta AC 2203 for lack of contact information.
Second.
Motion of course, second to close 2203. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
That motion passes, and that is closed. Board may review, discuss, take action on premise inspections. VCA Southside Animal Hospital, Janet Hauser, DVM. And this is Victoria.
Let's see. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this was an inspection. You asked board staff to go back to Rock July specifically just to look at. It was a situation where they had boxes and a garbage pile in the kennel area blocking all the fire exits and things like that. So I went back last week and it looks beautiful and it was a surprise, and they've been able to keep up what they said they would do, which is to clean it up and keep it safe.
So we can
take no action?
Yeah, that's just a report out. That's when we walk into the past. Number eight, board may review, discuss, take action on proposed revisions to board member compensation policy.
So you may remember a few months ago we did our annual review of this policy, and it was suggested that I was directed to look into adding some things, which included anticipating that a new board member may have an overnight stay prior to a board meeting, which would include hotel and meals. In the process of doing this, I realized that the state had updated some of the policies related to travel. So where in the past, you all wouldn't have been eligible for mileage from your home here, because typically we as employees have to deduct how far we would drive to work anyway. So they've taken that out for board members. So board members can be reimbursed for mileage to and from board meetings without first deducting or applying the deduction for mileage to your house. So you'd all be eligible for that if you wanted to claim that or not. There's a specific provision that says that board members can decide to just forego expense reimbursement. Of the claim, with the class time, you get what you get, sometimes I hope that we would be able to do that. And then I just put some other things in here, pulling things out from the main state travel policy, just so if we're just looking at this, it kind of tells a more complete story. So these are just my suggestions for a draft to edit this policy.
In this 3.6 meals, it says SAM 5 or 5025 and 5095.
Yeah.
Does that give you breakfast? Is your $10 limit? Lunch is 15, dinner is 25. Is that stuff in there?
It's very complicated. So it depends. Oh. You have to be in travel status for 8 hours before you can get a meal. So then you were spending the night overnight.
So you'd have to drive from New Mexico to Connor.
Maybe you probably wouldn't have dinner, but you would have breakfast. So.
Okay.
Because it's paying yourself, I'll give it.
I'm not going to use it, but I figured somebody might want it. How complicated is it for them to figure it out?
It's very complicated, but we'll make it a little
bit. All right, so what we want to do is adopt this. All right, or how are we doing this?
If this is just a suggestion, if that's what you want to do or what day.
I think it was.
I think they captured what you wanted to get at, which is to bring in someone the night before.
Yeah, well, I imagine it'd be a whole lot easier to get people from around the state to participate if they didn't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive in the fields.
Right.
Well, if it's not for that, it's just more money for the state to sweep it virtually anyway.
So I'll also add, so if you're fine with this, we can kind of just adopt this, and then I still have to send it to the state general county office to approve it anyway.
So it's not automatic, it's got to go through a process.
They can say, correct.
So maybe if we approve it, maybe they will?
Yes. They can tell what's wrong.
Maybe, yeah.
All right, Chair would entertain a motion to approve this.
I'd like to motion to approve the new policy.
Second.
I did not second because I don't want to, no, I'm kidding. A motion for a second to approve the updated compensation, board member compensation policy. Bear through the discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Next up is the executive director financial update and payment card industry audit.
So in the interest of time, I won't go very fast. So what I thought back to you was the latest financial report, which just covers the card, this first quarter of this year, July, August, September, and part of October. We should be getting our October report sometime this week, so this is the latest that I have to give you. But basically, in a nutshell, we spent about 25% of our appropriation, which is exactly what we should be doing. So over there, there's no strange, you know, expenses or anything that I would typically point out. Just the largest expense, which I always do have to point out, is the rent cost, which I believe is like $34,000, which is a lot more than just food, and it continues to go up every year. And our income is still really unpredictable because of COVID. It's hard to match up with previous years. I can't quite see a pattern on it, why there was a lot more in August than it typically would be, those kind of things. So I'll just leave it at that. Unless anybody has any questions, you can always follow me if you have specific detailed questions. But this particular, these spreadsheets, you put it on the tabs below.
Any questions on the spreadsheet?
Then I'll go on to the next one, which is the payment card industry audit. I just wanted to report out that we passed our audit. And it's very important thing that we have to do, which is, you know, protect our customers' credit card information. As you know, we only use credit cards during renewals, only on a renewal year, so it's actually pretty easy for us. We never collect, we don't take credit cards, it's always online, so there's even less for us to have to deal with. We never have your credit card number, we never save it, we never see it, and so but we still have to, you know, go through this to make sure that we are compliant, and we are.
Good job.
For another year. So that's all I have on that.
All right, we're updated on that. Next up is a review and approval of minutes, October 20, 2021 regular session. And Dr. Byrne and Dr. Novley are abstained. So do we have a form? We have one online.
Right? Yeah, so I'll postpone that till next month because then I have four.
All right, so we're 10. Section 6, number 1 and 2 will be pended to December.
Which would be better if we could have, because we may be dealing with that possibility thing in the
Ooh.
Yeah. And
let's record show this career is leaving us now. Adios. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, thank you. See you in a few weeks.
So we're on the consent agenda.
So I make a motion to approve consent agenda removing A1 and A3.
Second. Sam, Mr. Peter left, so you can do that. A motion on the floor and a second to approve the consent agenda with the items removed. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And Dr. James, you were there for that, right?
I'm there.
Okay, just to make sure. You are our last quorum. I make a motion to approve pending compliance for A1.
Second.
A motion for a second to approve A1 pending compliance. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes.
And the third one is just no action.
Application withdrawn for A31. There's nothing there. Summary of current events. Anybody got something warm and sunny to share with us?
No, but I would like to just be the ratchet of gears and see if we can direct board staff to agendize to discuss next month our common policies for the board meeting. I understand emergency season has happened, but I think with how critical the nature is of what we do, I think it's incumbent to be present so that the complaints and response can see us face to face as opposed to phone calls. And I think it can really make things move to a point where we're not dealing with a lot of these issues. So I would like to agendize discussing a major, I think, policy on phone calling into the board meetings.
Can I run before you there?
Yeah, that too. Your servers, I'm telling you.
It's a open the door.
No, for sure. No, it's very true. I agree.
And while we're doing that, let's make another call to this IT guy, because this is, it's better than we started out this morning, but it ain't fixed. This sounds as well. They got to do something to fix this.
What helps is the phones situation, because you noticed when no one was on the phone, it was much, much better.
And phones are in a little bit of the apps.
So how's it going to be? We're about to find out how really bad the phone will be, right? So.
Are we allowed to make the phone call?
Hmm? Yeah, dialing him up while I'm reading this. I'll read the script when he gets on.
Okay.
So this is our Section 9 call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board may limit those persons speaking during this time to a reasonable number on any public comment matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes to do so. Pursuant to ARS 3840.32H, the board may only take action on matters listed on the agenda. Action on public comment matters that are not listed on the agenda will be limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a later date. Is he
answering? Hello, Mr. Johnson. It's Tracy at the Veterinary Board. I want to come from you in the board meeting. You're conferenced in.
All right, we are at that part of the meeting. This is the call to the public. The board is committed to conducting its call to the public in a manner that ensures those wishing to address the board have a fair opportunity to do so. Everyone wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes. Speakers will be advised when 30 seconds remain and asked to conclude comments. This is a time for the public to provide comment to the board. By law, members of the board may not discuss items that are not specifically identified on the agenda and thus cannot respond to any questions. The only action the board can take is as a result of public comment is to direct staff to study the matter or ask staff to place the matter on future agendas. The board may exercise either option at the conclusion of the 3-minute period. If remarks from the public contain board member criticism, the open meeting law does allow the individual members of the public body that are the subject of criticism the opportunity to respond. At all times, during the call of the public, everyone is expected to treat each other with respect and civility. If a person does not adhere to these basic courtesies, the board will ask that person to modify their behavior. If they continue to exhibit disruptive behavior, the board reserves the right to end the call of the public or take other appropriate action. Dr. Johnson, you have the floor.
My name is Dr. John N. Johnson, and this week I have been a good week for me because I have been able to have a discussion with the dean of the Midwestern University Veterinary School, Dr. Dan Thomas. I have been wanting to talk to him for a long time in the previous my discussion, and one of the public members was asking to invite the dean of the college to the board. And anyway, I was successfully able to talk to him regarding the student shortage of veterinarians in the state of Arizona. And fortunately, he is the dean in travel expert in Arizona, like me. And we have a lot of achievements. And only the achievement I had when I presented this issue to the board, I'm unfair to that the board members could discuss this issue and rule against my proposition. And I believe in a student world. The reality is everyone, religious, social, economic, settler, religious, settler, Arizona, all agree. As far as I know, we have extreme shortage of veterinarians, and people are committing suicide. That's what I have been proposing, the reformation of the board. And I asked about this many times, the staff who discussed with me, and they tried to suspend and write it down and present for the board for discussion. So, this is why I wanted to put you the board. Please soon, Dr. Stuart Thomas is inviting me for a tea, and we will have an extensive discussion that maybe we have a unique proposition for this. So I wanted to put this thing to the board attention. Arizona legislature cannot go like this, devoid of work that qualified veterinarians and working in the state of Arizona extensively for the benefit of the animals and the people of the state of Arizona. And I wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and have an enjoyable day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, sir. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. We don't see you then.
Thank you, sir.
That concludes our call to the public. That's our last participant. The next meeting is right here, Wednesday, December 8th, 2021, beginning at 8:30 a.m., right here in this boardroom. And one or more board members may be here telephonically, though we hope. And with that, We are adjourned. Sign your stuff. I just want to sign off.